What is up, y'all? It is your girl Drea K. So this just dropped in my spirit. This isn't a regular scheduled episode. This is literally a rhema word, so I don't know who this is for. I know it's for me, but I gotta get this word out. Like I said, it literally just dropped in my spirit, so I'm gonna have to get this word out, okay? So the Lord is literally doing the unexpected. And at this point, we should expect the unexpected. But even, ooh, Lord God, even when you expect it, it's not going to come when you think it is. You're not going to be able to know. My God, you're not going to be able to know when he does what he does, right? So to say expect the unexpected, it doesn't even give that word justice, because you still ain't going to know the time, the day, nor the hour when God literally pours his spirit out on you and uses you, right? You're not going to know exactly when that moment is. You just have to be ready and stay ready. So this word, the unexpected, the way God uses you in this season of your life will be in unexpected ways. So literally last night, I was on the phone with my friend and we hadn't talked in a while. We always miss each other's phone calls, but I got up to check my phone because I was watching a sermon by Matthew Stevenson. I was watching a sermon and all of a sudden he said something and I had to write it down in my phone. So I went to go grab my phone and I saw that she had FaceTimed me. Now my phone on silent, so I didn't hear it, right? So, it just so happens that I got up to go because he said something that triggered me, that gave me a revelation. I had to get up and go write it down. So I grabbed my phone and saw that I had a missed FaceTime call from her. So I call her back. We begin talking, but all of a sudden she started talking to me about a previous relationship, or really a situationship she had re-entered into. Now, not to put all her business out like that, you know, I'm not that type of person, but this is a particular female that God has been placing on my heart for years to help come out of her bondage in her relationships, in the things that she had been indulged in. So I felt that opportunity, I immediately knew that God was going to want to use me, or this conversation wasn't going to go the way that she thought it was going to go. So, you know, all of a sudden she just started talking about this situationship. And when she started talking about it, I just felt something. Like it was just in my spirit, y'all. Like I just really felt something. So I couldn't wait for her to shut up. I couldn't wait for her to shut up about it so I can call out what I was hearing in the spirit. So all of a sudden I started calling out the demonic activity in which I was discerning. Is this too deep for y'all already? I'm sorry. Okay. Let me break this down for you. So ladies, y'all know how when you mess with somebody and you know you ain't supposed to be messing with them, like you know they ain't no good for you. They already showed you their colors. They already showed you that they don't care about you. But yet we still make these excuses, you know, to kind of condone our behavior. And it's really unknowingly coming up with these excuses, right? Trying to explain yourself to your friend because you don't want to seem weak, or you don't want to seem like you're not in control of the situation. You don't want to seem like, I know what I'm doing. I know he's like this, but you know, I know what I'm doing. Look, that was for somebody. I don't know who that was for, but like, that's literally what you're doing. You literally re-entered into a relationship. You re-entered into some type of covenant. Hello. Some type of situationship. And now you're coming to your friends with a problem, or they're asking you, well, you know, what's up with you and so, and you're unknowingly making excuses. Well, you know, we just started talking and all of a sudden, you know, this happened and he took me out to eat and this and this and that. Mind you, the whole time your friend looking at you like, I'm finna dig in. And that's exactly what I did, y'all. But it was in a different way. It was in a really, really different way because I felt the spirit was on me, right? So, as soon as she started talking about this particular friend, this particular person that she was messing with, y'all, I didn't even hear her voice anymore. I didn't even hear her voice anymore. I literally started to see what she was dealing with. I literally started to see the demon. Hello. The demon that she was talking about in this person. Like, he wasn't even a person to me at that point after she kept talking and talking about it. After I had already discerned where this conversation was going, I was like, okay, this ain't a person. This is a demon that she's dealing with. All right, okay, let's continue. So I started talking to her, and I literally started exposing this demon, like exposing it. Like, girl, that ain't no person. That's a spirit you dealing with. That's a demon that you're dealing with. That is not no person. Because y'all know how sometimes when we get lonely and we get in these spaces and places and we don't really have any options when we trying to heal, we don't have any options when we single, we tend to reopen the doors towards other people that we are familiar with. You see where I'm going here? So I immediately had to expose the demon that she was dealing with and call it out and call it what it is, baby. That's not a man. That's not a situationship. That is a covenant that you are making with a familiar spirit. It's a familiar spirit. I said this, I probably, it was like a couple of weeks ago, I had did like a quick little TikTok live on it. And I was literally discerning this same type of thing in my situation. And the Lord literally put it on my heart, and he gave me this revelation. He say, same spirit, different person. That's how they, oh, come on, y'all. That's how them spirits travel. And you thinking that, you know, you the crazy one, and you thinking that, oh, it's something wrong with you, or, oh, I must just be too judgmental. Oh, well, they just might have a bad day. Oh, like, you unknowingly make these excuses, right? And you don't realize that's a spirit you dealing with. It's a familiar spirit that you are dealing with. That is no longer a person. That's no longer just the man. That's no longer just your boo. That's no longer just your ex. That's no longer just your baby daddy. That's a spirit that you're dealing with. But if you don't have spiritual eyes, and if you haven't healed enough, hello, come on. If you haven't healed enough, you won't be able to recognize that. So I had to walk her through the process. I started saying, baby girl, I know, you know, you lonely, and I know, you out here, you know, doing your thing. God done separated you from, you know, all of the foolishness that you was going through in your previous relationship. God got you out here to yourself, and I know it's kind of hard, but don't think for one minute that the devil don't have your new address. Come on. You can move away. You can go here. You can move to California. You can move to Timbuktu, but that spirit, You got something on the inside of you that demon wants. He wants your gift. He wants your calling. He wants your commitment to God. He wants you to stay unhealed. He wants you to stay broken. You don't think he got your new address? Oh, okay. So I had to walk her through this and say, baby girl, you're not dealing with no man. You're not dealing with that. You're dealing with a spirit. And as soon as I started breaking it down to her, getting more and more into details, this girl, and, you know, I'm just thinking, like, okay, she being dramatic. This girl sitting up here, she literally, like, started getting sick. And we on FaceTime, mind you. We on FaceTime. This girl way in another state. She started getting sick. And she had to lay down. She was like, oh, I'm feeling a little nauseous. Oh, I'm feeling a little dizzy. Like, oh, you talking, so you doing something. You doing something. And I'm like, oh, she being dramatic. Mind you, this is just a regular conversation. You know, I'm thinking, oh, the Lord just going to, you know, want me to encourage her. You know, the Lord wants me to, you know, pour into her, speak some life into her. The Lord wanted me to call out a demon. Like, I'm sorry. Look, y'all, I'm sorry if this too deep for y'all. Like, I'm, you know, like, whew, it's a new level over here. Okay. It's a new level at the Living in Pursuit podcast. It was unexpected. Okay. It was the unexpected. She literally started getting sick. And then she said, Drea, you got a gift. Because I've seen people. I've been in churches. I've been around groups of people in apostolic and, you know, Kojic churches. And literally see, I've seen with my own eyes, people started falling out, getting sick after somebody spoke something to them, after somebody put their hands on them, after somebody called something out of them, called a spirit out of them, or called, you know, whatever the case may be. She said, I've been around this. I've seen it with my own eyes. I ain't never felt like this before. You got a gift, something that you saying, the whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing right now, it's beyond you. It's like you got a gift. And when she said that, it didn't hype me up. It didn't make me feel, you know, better than almighty, you know, powerful Andrea. It didn't make me feel none of that. But it confirmed what the Lord had been shaping me into. It it already confirmed what he had been cultivating and training me for these last couple of weeks. So it's not a coincidence, y'all, that it's not unexpected how the Lord has been telling us we need to heal. We need to heal. Heal my daughters. Set the captives free. It's not strange. Like, he keeps telling me this, And at first, when he told me this a couple of months ago, I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, what you mean, set the captives free? I don't know what that mean. But I was met with an opportunity last night, not only to release her from what she was dealing with, or to help stop her from going back to another toxic relationship, going back into another toxic cycle, detouring, taking another delay from purpose. But I was met with an opportunity for God to show me who I am. God wanted to show me. This is what I've been talking to you about. This is what I've been telling you to read. This is why you've been in scriptures in Matthew and Luke, learning about Jesus and his teachings and his healing. This is why, this is why I had you do this. This is why I'm cultivating this next challenge. This is why I told you that it's bigger than you think. This is why I'm releasing you into ministry. This is why I'm releasing you into your next. This is why this new level feels different. That's why this new level feels different, because I'm doing something different. I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Or do you think you're just still, you think you need to be in training for years and years and years? Nah. When God puts something on you, when God puts something in you, he gonna use it. It ain't gonna be on your time. It ain't gonna be the way you thought it was gonna be. I was literally met with an opportunity for God to show me. Like he literally showed me last night. Like, he literally showed me, don't get stuck in the learning phase. Once the gift and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's all he needs to do his work. Stop thinking you have to be trained for months and months and months and years and years and years for the Lord to start using you. Any day now, it won't be long. Any day now, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Any day now, your next instruction will be revealed to you. Any day now, you will be right where God has called you to be. Some of y'all be mad when your assignment shifts, when your assignment keeps changing. And it should be a clear indication that God is doing something. And he has need for you. He has a need of you. Stop thinking you got to be in control of when God uses you. Because it won't be long. Any day now. Any day now. Amos chapter 9 verse 13. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. The miracle is going to be unexpected. The the deposit is going to be unexpected. The blessing is going to be unexpected. Your marriage is going to be unexpected. You meeting that kingdom spouse, kingdom wife is going to be unexpected. You can't plan this. Oh, the Lord said you can't plan this. You can't make plans around it. You can't make plans through it. You can't make plans for it. It's going to be unexpected. Why? Because he's in control. Why? Because he's establishing you. Why? Because he knows the plans and the purpose for your life. Why? Because he has need for you in this season. And it's not going to be the way that you think. It's not going to be the avenue. It's not going to be the vehicle. You can't plan this. You can you can listen to all of the gurus. You can listen to all of the business people, kingdom entrepreneurs. You can listen to them all you want, but it's going to be unexpected. The blessing is going to be unexpected. When God drops that money in your account, it's going to be unexpected. When God gives you that opportunity, it's going to be unexpected. When God has need of you, it's going to be unexpected. You ain't going to be able to see it coming. You can't calculate it. You can't put it on a calendar. You can't plan it out. It's going to be unexpected. So stop being mad that your assignment keeps shifting. Stop being mad that God has you doing this when you really want to do that. Stop being mad that you aren't where you think you should be right now. Because it's going to be unexpected. You can't plan your life. What the scripture say? Proverbs 16:9. We literally just talked about this. The Amplified version says, a man's mind plans what you calculate, what you think the plan should be, how you think it should go. A man's mind plans his ways as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes him. That's all I've been hearing in the spirit. God, establish me. See, this is what happens when you submit it. This is what happens when you are submitted under God. When you are submitted under his plan for your life. You ain't got no control, sweetheart. This is what happens when you are so submitted and committed to God's plan for your life. You just start praying stuff you don't even know the meaning for. Why am I praying for you to establish me? Why am I praying for you to establish me? Why are you putting this in my heart? Why are you interceding on my behalf? Why are you putting this in my spirit? Why are you telling me to pray for that? Why? Because God knows the plan for your life. He's preparing you. He's training you for something. He's gearing you up. He's preparing you to receive it. He's preparing you to receive the blessing. He knows the plans. You don't. Y'all be getting so frustrated. I be getting so frustrated with God. I be in the midst. I be, okay, well, I'm a kingdom entrepreneur, right? So I should be planning my next launch. I should be planning my next project. I should be getting some clients, right? I should be doing what the world tells me to do, right? That's why it's not strange that I had a masterclass called Know Your Gifts, Not Use Your Gifts. Because that would insinuate that you have control over your gifts. That would insinuate that you can draw your own map. That would insinuate that you have control over what God has need of you for. Know your gift. So when he tells you to sit down and read this scripture, no, don't read that. Read this. No, don't watch that. Listen to me. Oh, turn that off. Stop listening to them. Turn those pastors off. Stop listening to those business gurus. Because you can come up with all of these marketing strategies. You can come up with all of this stuff. But it's going to happen unexpectedly. God say, I had a dream two nights ago. And the dream was basically, I saw myself making friends with these two girls. And they were popular. And, the Lord is speaking to me right now. Ooh, that just hit my spirit. So I was talking to the girls in the dream, right? And they looked, like they were popular. They had a lot of following or whatever like that. They were the it girls, right? So I literally like started like hanging around them. I started to, you know, basically started kissing they behind. And I'm like, Lord, this ain't me. This must be some type of representation. Cause you know, I don't do that. But what he was showing me was this next blessing, this unexpected blessing that I'm about to release to you, Andrea, and whoever is listening, you're not going to be able to make friends to get into the room. You're not going to be able to design your posse. You're not going to be able to make the right connections on your own. You're not going to be able to force yourself into the blessing. You're not going to be able to force yourself into the room. You're not going to be able to just make it happen on your own. It's not going to be you making this friend and this friend just so happen to it. Like it's not going to be you. You're not the creator. You're not the cause of this blessing. You're not going to be the cause of this blessing. I don't know who that's for. Some of y'all are trying to force your way into entrepreneurship. You're trying to force your way into a marriage. You're trying to force your way into the industry. You're trying to overwork yourself. You're trying to do the utmost. You're trying to do the most, trying to establish yourself. And God said, let me establish you. Because when he do it, that's how he gets the glory. When you do it, he don't get glory. You do. So God say, I gotta continue to humble some of you. I gotta continue to let you all know who is in control in this season. You ain't gonna be able to hustle your way into it. You ain't gonna be able to network your way into it. You ain't gonna be able to establish yourself because the way that God established you is it's gonna be spiritual. He can develop the skill that you need, but it's that gift. It's the gift that he cultivates that's going to make the room. That's going to make room for you. It's the gift. It ain't the skill. You can know everything on this planet. You can know how to do this. You can know how to do that. But it's the gift that he cultivates in you that's going to get you into the room. It's the gift. I keep saying that. It's the gift. It's the gift. It's the gift. So God, that divine appointment that I had with my friend last night, that was a room. That was an opportunity for you to show me who I was, to show me what gift that you're currently cultivating in me. That was to confirm what you're doing. That was to confirm that this is how the blessing is going to occur. It's going to occur unexpectedly. So when they call you to come speak, it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be unexpected because you're not going to know that I'm developing you in this way. You thinking it's just for that, but it's really for this. It's going to be unexpected. See, God is so strategic. He don't get, that's why he does not give us all of the details. He wants us to be somewhat blind to what he's doing. He wants us to be ignorant to what he's doing. So when it does happen unexpectedly, it wouldn't be something that we can calculate. It wouldn't be something that would be like, oh, well, I already knew God was going to do that. Oh, I already knew. Like it keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. So when that unexpected phone call comes, when that unexpected man just walks into your life, woman just walks into your life, you'll know for sure that God was in control the whole time and you didn't have nothing to do with it. So any day now, I would tell you to expect the unexpected, but even when you try to expect it, it's going to happen when it happens. God is going to usher you into a place, a space, a room, and it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be unexpectedly. It's not going to be because of your works. It's not going to be because of the amount of followers you have. It's not going to be because you're smart, because you know how to do a thing. It's the gift. The gift, the need, the current need that he has of you. Stop getting mad. I really feel like a lot of y'all just be getting mad. Well, God, what is it? What is the thing? What What, why am I not established in life? Why don't I have my own this? Why am I still here? Why am I still in this position? Why? First and foremost, you comparing yourself. You steady comparing yourself to what life should be. What life should look like at 30. What life should look like at 25. What life should look like after you graduate. What life should look like after your single season. How do you know your single season is over, baby girl? I should have been married by now. I should have met him by now. I should have been, some of y'all was sick on Valentine's Day. I hear it in the spirit. Some of y'all was sick on Valentine's Day, mad at God. Well, God, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Why you ain't bring him into my life yet? Why am I still single? Why I ain't married yet? Why she get the ring? Because you're stuck on this idea of what life should look like, and God has a different need for you. But you can't see it because you're blinded. You can't see it because you're blinded by your own desires, your own selfish ambition. I released a word yesterday on TikTok, and it was basically God saying and warning us that there are going to be some big decisions that we have to make within these next few months. Like, it's coming faster than we think. It's bigger than we think, right? And he was telling me yesterday, like, it's a war between flesh and spirit. And God says, don't choose wrong because you out here living selfishly. There's going to be some big decisions that you make. Don't make the wrong one. You got to want what the spirit want, not what the flesh want. Galatians 5:16-9. So I say, walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hello. Verse 22. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You can't be punished when you live with the fruit of the spirit. You don't suffer the consequences like everybody else. When you choose your spirit over your flesh, you don't suffer the consequences. That's why God is literally telling us, make a decision. James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So the Lord dealt with me all day yesterday. I wasn't like, he literally warned me again, gave me another warning against greed and idolatry. So I felt the discipline, like literally the wrath of the Lord yesterday. He was tearing me up in Proverbs yesterday morning, back to back to back, proverb after proverb. And I'm sitting up here like, Lord, okay. And he was tearing me up because this whole idea of kingdom entrepreneurship, it's being taught wrong. It's being fabricated. It's being exhausted, right? Like some of these pastors, some of these teachers, some of these gurus, they're telling you, oh yeah, build wealth, oh yeah, do it this way, do it that way, and they're not leading you to God's way. It's like some of them have gotten lost in true teaching. Like they've gotten away from the teaching, they've gotten away from the doctrine. And they've started seeing success so much to the point where now they're becoming double-minded. They've been becoming lukewarm. Not lukewarm. They're straddling the fence, basically, right? they're pursuing their selfish ambitions and they're no longer pursuing the will of God. And he had to begin to deal with me and warn me as well. Because entrepreneurship is literally you being your own boss, you doing things your way. But the way that God wants to make us into kingdom, the way you become a kingdom entrepreneur is when you do things God's way and not your way. When the mission changes, that's how you know that you've begun to straddle the fence. When you become all about the money, well, how much money can I make if I do it like this? Or I already know what I'm doing, so let me just do this without God. Like, it's a lot of temptation out here as being a kingdom entrepreneur, even calling yourself that, like trying to be set apart. Like, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of temptation out here, and you can literally get caught up in the money. You can get caught up in that side of entrepreneurship, and you neglect your mission. You neglect the calling that God has on your life. That's why God literally tore me up, y'all, like tore me up. He said, okay, now that I healed your heart in this area, let's go to money. Let's go to this stability. Let's go to your perception of prosperity, because the way that you're going, I need to correct you right now before I release this blessing. I need to correct you right now and make you realize and help you to not forget that this is still my doing. You can plan, you can do all of this, you can do all of that. But when it comes to my people, you're going to treat my people the way I treat them. You're not going to do it your way out of selfish ambition. You're not going to raise the bar because everybody else is raising the bar. You're not going to charge this because everybody else is charging that. You're not going to teach it this way because everybody else is teaching it that way. You're going to do it my way, or you ain't going to do it at all. I'm gonna either allow you in the room, or I'm gonna keep you in the hallway. The choice is yours. Make a decision. So he literally began to start dealing with me about idolatry and money. See, when you haven't had money before, like when you're used to getting money and losing it, you still find yourself in this poverty mindset. When you have never created stability for yourself in your life, it's hard to trust God to create stability for you. So a lot of times you want to do things your way, so that you will be straight, so that you will have a peace of mind. Well, you know, if I do this, then, you know, I ain't got to worry about that bill. Well, you know, if I go and do this, if I go and drive Lyft, or if I go and sell this, or if I go and sleep with this man, if I go and, like, come on. Because we haven't been healed in the area of our finances. We haven't been able to trust God in this area. So he literally had to literally correct me right dead in the middle of my tracks. And he started saying, like, a lot of us have been stuck in this poverty mindset. We haven't quite reached our financial goals. It seems like we're always behind and never getting ahead. We get money, then lose it. Never have an opportunity to save. So what happens is God calls you into entrepreneurship, and that mindset goes with you. So anytime you get an opportunity to make money, that's all you focus on, the money. So yesterday morning, God reminded me, as soon as I got out the shower, he reminded me of Proverbs 14:12. Remember, I told you he brought me through a whole series of Proverbs, right? And Proverbs is the book of wisdom, if you didn't know. Proverbs 14:12. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. And this kicked off a series of revelation for me. So look, I hope y'all still here. Are y'all still here? Are y'all still good? Because we're going into this direction because it's nothing but the Holy Spirit flowing. I wasn't planning on going into this, but we're getting into it, okay? I know we started off one way, but it all ties in together. Come on, stay with me. So he convicted me again, and he brought me to Matthew 6:24, which says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I'm like, wait, hold up, Lord. I was only putting value on this product. I was only putting value on this challenge, this course, this, that, this, that, and a third. Subconsciously doing what I was taught by the gurus, the pastors who have been preaching about wealth lately. My God, thinking that, oh, these people are helping the community, but some of them ain't. Some of them are operating in greed and deception, and it's blinding the people of God. It's blinding you from your gift. It's taking your mind off of the mission. So he started really digging into my behind, right? So then he started talking to me about greed. So then he leads me to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15 through 27. Y'all go and read it on your own because I'm going to try to fly through this because it's a lot. Verse 15, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Verse 17, if you will not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other God but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Elisha says, go in peace. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, but not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. My God, is this preaching to somebody already? I hope it is. Verse 21. So Gehazi rushed, went against God, went against the man of God, went against the wishes of the prophet. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, oh, he lying. Two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. By all means, take two talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. He gave them to the two of his servants and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He's stealing. He sent the men away and they left. When he went in and stood before his master, Elisha, the prophet, asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? He said, your servant didn't go anywhere. But Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. So going back to, you know, the Lord beating me up scripture after scripture, basically telling me that me personally, I will not become like them. Going back to discipline, right? God was literally disciplining me for this. So he says, I will not become like them other entrepreneurs, them other marketers, them other money hungry strategists who are only in it for the money. That's why you have to turn your ears off. You have to really get in God's presence because you will be blinded trying to be an entrepreneur, thinking that people owe you something, thinking that people owe you something. This gift, you cannot manipulate your gift. You cannot manipulate your gift. You can't put a price on your gift. My God, you cannot put a price on your gift. Elisha was literally doing the Lord's work. And he was like, oh, I don't need anything. I don't need y'all's money. I don't need your wages. I don't need anything. I'm doing works of the Lord. I'm doing service for the Lord, right? So it's literally giving us a strategy that when God places you before his people, you are to serve them first. The money will come. Your first obligation should be to walk and operate in your gift to please God and to serve his people. How can I serve you? How can this challenge serve my community? How can this word serve the community? How can what God is instructing me to do? What does God want? How does God want me to serve? The money should come later. Like, y'all, look, man, look, I'm getting so up about this already. So he brought me to Proverbs 10 and 9. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. So he started teaching me about integrity. I'm like, Lord, get me together, please. Okay. So then after that, he starts teaching and reminding me about my words and my mouth. Remember the word I released a few months ago that instructed us to pay attention to our words because they will be very, very important in this season. He then again brought me to Proverbs 10:14. It says, "The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin." He's talking about those people who don't sit down and let God's instruction simmer. Those who have a word, those who have a hard time giving up control. When God gives you an inch, you take a mile. Like those people. Those people who don't get the full word, don't get the full revelation, and spills out their own interpretation of what it means. Those who prophesy in parts and try to put the pieces together themselves, God said it's going to happen unexpectedly. So all of this stuff that you're doing, all of this planning, all of this research, all of this learning, all of these skills, it ain't going to be really necessary. Because the Lord says, when I do it for you, I'm going to make sure you're disciplined enough to know the difference. I'm going to make sure you know the difference between what your flesh want and what your spirit want. I'm going to make sure you know how to be integral. I'm going to make sure you know how to use wisdom and discernment when opportunities come. I'm going to make sure you know that this ain't about you. I'm going to make sure you stay humbled. I'm sitting up here getting it. I'm sorry, y'all. But God has given a firm, stern warning telling us the people that he is using in this hour, in this season. It's going to happen unexpectedly. You can plan it. You can plan it all you want to. You can think that God going to do it this way. You can think that God going to do it that way, but it's going to be unexpected. I had no idea that I was going to do that. I've never done that before in my life. Call out a demon. What? Who am I? Lord, what is happening here? It's a new level. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. God is doing something new. It's going to be unexpected, y'all. You're not going to be able to see it coming. It's going to be unexpected because it's going to be divine. It's going to be divine timing. It's going to be according to God's will, according to his plan, according to his purpose. It's going to be according to what's best for you. Ooh, God says, so stop trying to be a psychic because you ain't going to be able to figure this one out. That's a raven. You ain't going to be able to go forth and try to figure out the end. That's a raven. I'm going to give you visions and you're going to have to sit with them. You're going to have to write them down in your journal. You're going to have to seek me about it. It ain't going to be, oh, I got a vision. Let me go try to get this thing done. Let me go try to understand. Let me go try to stop this thing from happening. Let me go try to control the ending. Let me go try to control my future. Let me go try to be in control of my own selfish ambition. God say, I'm healing all of that. I'm healing all of that selfish ambition. I'm healing all of that self-control. God say, I need to trust you with this next level. I need to trust you with this next instruction. I need to trust you with this next assignment. Because every time I give you an inch, you taking miles and miles. God say, I need y'all to be able to be still. Be still. Be still and know that he is God. God say, you can watch all the videos you want. You can learn all of the strategies you want. You can do this. You can do that. But it's going to happen unexpectedly anyway. So stop burning yourself out. Stop trying to, stop trying to make yourself the expert. Stop trying to, Lord have mercy. Oh, he getting me. He's getting me even now. It's going to happen unexpectedly. The more time you spend with me, God say, the more time you spend with me, the more time you allow me to cultivate them gifts, you're going to be established. I'm going to establish you. It's just going to happen for you. It's going to happen the way that I say it's going to happen. It's not going to happen because of your works. It's not going to happen because you done sat up on YouTube all day listening to the business podcast. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. You can take all the courses and all of that stuff that you want. It ain't going to happen that way. It's going to happen God's way. Point blank, period. He's going to be the one to establish you. That's how he gets the glory. He's going to be the one that walk you into that door. He's going to be the one to set up the plan. He's going to be the one to set up the play. He's going to be the one to set up the opportunity. He's going to be the one to set up the new thing, the marriage, the this, the that. He's going to be the one to do it, not you. So anyway, I hope this podcast episode was somewhat encouraging to you. I hope you got the full revelation, and that's not even it. I got a whole thing of notes. Probably gonna have to do it tomorrow, but it's cool. So the Lord is warning us about greed, idolatry. He literally is warning us about trying to fake become psychics, trying to figure out what God is doing in this hour. He said it's gonna happen unexpectedly. It's gonna happen unexpectedly. You're not gonna know the day nor the hour. All you got to do is just be ready. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All you got to do is just be ready. What that scripture say? Hold on. Matthew. Hold on. Let me find it. Luke chapter 12, 35 through 49. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. My God. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house get broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Hello. That's the message. I'm out of here. It's late tonight. It's almost about to be 9 o'clock, and this is unexpected. I know this podcast episode was unexpected, but you know, that's the word. I yield to the mic. Ain't that what the people on Clubhouse say? I yield my mic. I've spoken. The Lord has spoken. He has spoken. All right. That's it. I'm out of here. I love y'all. Sign up for the Pursuing Wholeness Challenge waitlist. Still ain't getting no instruction on that, on when it's gonna drop, but hey, it's gonna be unexpected, period. I love y'all. Take care. Bye.